Well, turn your Bibles, please, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 22. It's a very short verse. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Now, I know some of you have allergies, or to a certain extent, you may be lactose intolerant. Milk, cheese, eggs, peanuts, ice cream are among the items that you have to avoid. Even a small amount of these things can be detrimental to your health. And you are not alone in being required to avoid certain things in life. While your allergies are related to your physical well-being, each of us as believers have dangers. We have dangers that need to be avoided, that we need to stay away from to maintain our spiritual health. The scripture gives us a clear indication of what we are allergic to spiritually. And so in our text, Paul says, abstain from all appearance of evil. The word abstain is actually a compound word of two words. The first is the preposition from. And when we have the preposition from, it implies that there is some element of distance. It implies that there is some separation from the former association. The word abstain, well, it means to withhold oneself, to prevent, to refrain. Other translations will render this verse more strictly. You'll say, reject every kind of evil. Stay away from every kind of evil. Keep away from every kind of evil. Separate yourselves or flee from every evil matter. Abstain from all appearance of evil. So I want us to keep in mind, why does Paul write this? Well, Paul, again, is thinking of our sanctification. Look at the following verse. Verse 23 says, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. Sanctification is Paul's main idea here. He desires that you be sanctified wholly, wholly as in completely. Every part, nothing that is missing. And the problem is not so much that we don't desire to be sanctified. I think if we were to do a poll, most of us would say, yes, I agree. I want to be more holy. It's a good thing that I want to be more sanctified. I want to be a better Christian. But is that we don't put off the former associations. We do not set at a distance this former person. Simplified is this: in order to add Jesus to your life, there must be a subtraction. In order to add, there must be a subtraction. In sanctification, there are three main types of sanctification. The first is called what we call positional sanctification. Positional sanctification is a one-time thing that happens to the regenerate man. You're saved, you're regenerated, and you are positionally sanctified. You come from a position of under condemnation under God to one that is in a sanctified life. The third type of sanctification could be called a perfected sanctification. Positional is the first one. Perfected. Perfected would happen at the time of our death or when Jesus returns, that we will be fully glorified. But in this context, Paul has the second sanctification in mind. It deals with our walk on earth. It is progressive. Again, we have positional, progressive, perfective. So there's progressive sanctification. And progressive sanctification is a process. It's not a one-time thing. It happens over our life. And so there is, in this sanctification, an addition and a subtraction. Let me put it this way. When I was doing my graduate studies in diabetes, we were given some clinical studies, clinical cases. And once these clinical cases were given to us, we would kind of act as these mock clinicians. We would try to give a diagnosis. And probably 9 times out of 10, the answer would be this, in terms of what should the patient do. Well, it would have to involve putting off their diet, their sugary components of their diet, and putting on exercise, in a sense. So an addition and a subtraction. Subtract what you are eating that is affecting your health, that is being detrimental and progressing your diabetes, and add exercise. There's a subtraction and an addition. And it's the same idea here. We are adding to our lives and subtracting from it. Of course, if we go back to positional sanctification, that is also an addition and subtraction. In another way, you can say it's a substitution. Think of it this way. We were once under the wrath of God. Our sins were condemned. But now they were subtracted. They were subtracted from our ledger. It's just like an account book. You may be in the red, minus X amount of dollars. A subtraction of that debt would leave you at zero. But you see, there is also an addition. The addition is Christ's righteousness to our account. It's in the green. We have the subtraction of the wages of sin, and we have an addition of the righteousness of Christ. And so it is also in our progressive sanctification. Turn with me, I'll ask please, to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 22. This is Paul's writings. He has this theme throughout this former person and this new person. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 22. And what better way to look at Paul? Paul, one of the most vilest of men, changed from his former self, right? So he says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22 to 24, what does he say? He's that you put off subtraction. Put off concerning the former conversation or conduct, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye put on, addition, put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. You put off the old man, and you put on the new one, which is created in righteousness and true holiness. Add and subtract. Turn over to Colossians. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 8. What does Paul tell us to put off? In verse 8, he tells us to put off anger, malice, wrath, blasphemy, filthy communication of your mouth. And what are we supposed to put on? Well, verse 12, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, letting the peace of God rule in your hearts. And that's verse 15 and verse 16. Letting the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Add and subtract. Romans 6:13, it says, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. This is describing what it is of the former life. But yield your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Add and subtract. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. There is an addition and a subtraction. The thing is, we like to have everything. I remember an illustration by Calvin. Calvin used this once. He said, when we think of being a Christian is kind of like adding ketchup or some sort of chili sauce to our rice, and our life is just the same, just a little spiced up. Well, that's not the case. There has to be a putting off of the former life and a putting on of the new man. And that's where we get the definition of sanctification in the Westminster Shorter Catechism. Question number 35 says, sanctification is the work of God's free grace, whereby we are renewed in the whole man after the image of God and enabled more and more, this is addition or subtraction, more and more to die unto sin. We're dying unto sin. There's less sin in our lives, and living unto righteousness. Addition, add and subtract. And if you look at our text, you'll see that there is that same concept. Look at verse 21. Addition and subtraction. Paul says, prove all things. Again, this is to what doctrine may come. Prove all things and hold fast. Hold on to that which is good. Keep it. Addition. Verse 22, subtraction. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Christian growth requires not only that we assimilate the good, but that we also reject all evil. Now, how or what does this look like in our lives? Well, what you could do, in fact, is you can take verse 22 and you can insert any command of the Bible. So let's take the Ten Commandments, for example. Abstain from all, from having God play second fiddle in your life. Abstain from making graven images of God to worship. Abstain from using God's name flippantly. Abstain from making the Sabbath day for your own pleasure, as taken from Isaiah 56. Abstain from dishonoring your parents. Abstain from murdering or having hateful thoughts. Abstain from infidelity or fornication. Abstain from stealing. Abstain from lying. Abstain from coveting. In the context of the Thessalonians, this could be abstinence from false doctrine. Again, in the previous verses, Paul says to prove all things. Do not despise all prophesizing, but prove all things. Maybe for some of us today, it's abstain from churches that claim they have new doctrine. Abstain from any teaching or any church that just teaches self-improvement, behavior modification without grace. Abstain from churches that exalt men and performances of men instead of Christ. Abstain from the lust of flesh, the pride of life, and the lust of the eyes. Abstain. Subtraction. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Now, the word appearance of evil in the KJV is also translated as sort of evil or kind of evil, or refers to a more concrete determination of evil. Because if we would determine what appears to be evil, well, we, in our subjective opinions, will all have different standards. Maybe going to a certain church, they may deem it evil that the worship leader and the preacher does not wear a suit. You may go to a certain church and it may appear to them that your dress or what you're wearing is not modest. You may go and they may see that your hat is too big. It's not just the appearance of evil, but a form or a kind of evil. It's more concrete. And again, we go and we resort to the Word of God. So we abstain for our sanctification. In order to add Jesus to our life, we need to subtract sin. But I want to suggest two more reasons why we should abstain, not just for our sanctification, not just for ourselves. Look at First Thessalonians chapter 1. The Thessalonians were a good example. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 5. This is Paul giving thanks to God for the Thessalonians. He says in verse 5, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were examples to all who believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For you, from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad." So what? So that Paul need not speak anything. Abstain for the sake of the community. Abstain for the sake of community. How many have confessed this, even myself, at some point in your life? You would ask, "Well, I wish I was a better testimony to my unsaved friends, to my loved ones. I wish they could see Christ living in me. If only I was better, perhaps they would be more convinced of Christianity." And that's why W.J. Toms once said that, "Be careful how you live. You may be the only Bible that some people read." You may be the only Bible that some people read. What does that mean? They may never step foot in a church. They may never attend a prayer meeting. They may never have even opened a Bible. But they may think they know everything because of the way we live. So abstain from fornication, abstain from all kinds of evil for the sake of community. The second reason we should abstain is for the sake of the church. Abstain for the sake of the church. What does that mean? Abstain from the sin of covetousness. Abstain from the sin of bitterness and pride. Abstain from the sin of self-righteousness. What does Paul tell Timothy? Paul tells Timothy in chapter 4, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. He says, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example for the believers, for the church, in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity." Abstain for the sake of the church. So you abstain, we add and subtract for our own personal growth. We abstain for the community. We also abstain for those believers in the church. But why? What do we add to our lives? We're talking about abstaining, abstinence. Well, what do we add? What do we add in our lives? Because we are all seeking. There are people, Christian, non-Christians, they're all seeking something to fill up the holes in our lives. It's kind of like that childhood toy, the one that has the blocks that has the outline of the shapes, whether it be a triangle or a circle, and we're trying to fit what will fill that hole, thinking that it will suffice. Well, see, the only thing that will make you complete is Christ himself. Only Christ can add fully and sanctify you wholly. We must run, or we must abstain for the pursuit of Christ. Maybe let's turn to an example in John chapter 4. John chapter 4. John chapter 4 is the encounter of Jesus and the Samaritan woman at the well. This is a time where Jesus was passing through. Well, he said he must needs go through Samaria. John chapter 4, and we'll pick up at verse 6. John chapter 4 and verse 6. He says, "Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour, or midday, in the hot sun. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink, for his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman said unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman said unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus said unto her, Go, call thy husband, and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou hast now hast is not thy husband, and that says thou truly. Here is a prime example of a woman who could be any of us, one that is seeking some sort of pleasure in life. Perhaps after the first husband, she was unsatisfied. She just went to the next, thinking that it would fill her life. And then when that second husband could not fulfill her desire, so she went to the next, the third one, and to the fourth, and to the fifth. But you see, there is this incompleteness in this world, in the things that we seek in this world, whether it be in a spouse, whether it be in the pleasures of this world. It will never fully satisfy you. It won't give you full and complete joy. There is this unquenchable desire in us, this seeking desire in us for something that will complete us, that will fill us. And Jesus says it here, that it is I, that I can give you the water that will you will never thirst again. You can go searching and searching in life, and you will not find it unless you pursue God. Unless you pursue God, you add to your life Jesus. And that's why to the woman caught in adultery, Jesus says, go and sin no more. To the man that was lowered into the house to the roof, he says, your sins have been forgiven, rise up and walk. They have been made whole. It's not that the healing itself has made them whole, but their sins have been forgiven. We are to pursue Christ. run to Him, fill ourselves up with Him. How do we do that? Well, there are primary means and secondary means by which God has given us to fill ourselves with Him, to sanctify ourselves. Look at John 17:17. I touched on this last time. It says, "Sanctify them through thy truth." Thy truth referring to God's word. Well, the primary means of our sanctification is through God's word. The secondary means, what are secondary means? Secondary means are through the fellowship of believers. Secondary means are through the fellowship of believers. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but what? To exhort one another, to encourage one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. You see, this second means God has given us for our sanctification is believers. Believers. Even in Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And in Galatians, if we find a fellow believer taken in a fault, what are we supposed to do? We which are spiritual are to restore that one to a spirit of meekness and to bear one another's burdens. You see, the secondary means is one another. We are not to neglect the assembling of ourselves. And so Paul exhorts us here, pursue Christ and subtract or abstain from sin or evil. And this is, of course, something that we cannot do of ourselves. Sanctification, progressive sanctification, is actually an active and a passive role. What does that mean? Well, if you look down at our verses again, active means we have to do something. Well, here Paul says, pray without ceasing, or rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing, everything give thanks, quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying, prove all things, abstain. These are things that we take an active role in. But there is also a passive role where we are sanctified by God, and more specifically, the Holy Spirit. There's a hint of that in verse 23. It says, the very God of peace sanctify you. It's not we sanctify ourselves, but the God of peace sanctify us. There it goes, hand in hand. Man cooperates in this sanctification. So we are to help, to cooperate with the Holy Spirit in the addition and the sanctification of our lives. You see, in our sanctification, we also find true joy. It is the pursuit of actually true joy. The more we grow in likeness to Christ, the more we personally experience the fruit of the Holy Spirit, which is joy and peace. Galatians 5:22-23. True joy is in Christ. True joy is in Christ. So if we want to add to our lives, we first must subtract. In order to add Jesus, we must subtract. And so may God help us. May we abstain from all appearance of evil, from all kind of evil, and that the very God of peace Himself and the Holy Spirit may sanctify us wholly, completely, till, as verse 23 says, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ till we see our Savior face to face. Let us pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are the God of grace and that you have bestowed on us your grace. So may we not be strangers to this grace. May we not despise this grace, for you have died the substitutionary death for us on the cross. The cross, the death that we needed to bear. And you have added and imputed to us your righteousness. And now we can live not as slaves of sin, but as slaves of righteousness to glorify you. May you be glorified by the fruit of our labors. May you be glorified by our works of gratitude, and that others may come to see Christ in us. We do admit that we fail at times. We're confident, and we know that you have given us the means by which we can be sanctified, that you may help us. And so we pray, help us to embrace it, help us to yearn for it, to desire it, and help us to be shining lights, salt that has not lost its savor to this world. We pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.